The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. For the Lord is faithful in all his words and merciful in all his deeds. Psalm 145. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My guess is that aside from our parents, I imagine we've all had mentors of one kind or another. People we admire, people who have guided us as friends or teachers, people we trust and feel comfortable with for them to be honest with us. That's a mark of a true mentor, someone that we are prepared to listen to, who is brutally often honest with us. The mentor that I always think of, or the person I think of who had a great influence on my life, was the assistant director of Leeds and Bradford Airport, which in those days was very much just a small municipal airport, but for me, it was the whole world. Gordon Dennison was the assistant airport director there when I was appointed as station manager for the airline I worked for. It was my first promotion as station manager, and I would be in my early 20s, 23, 24, something like that. He'd been in the Royal Air Force. He'd been a navigator in the Royal Air Force. And then when he left, joined Leeds Airport as an air traffic controller, became senior air traffic control officer, and then assistant airport director. And then some years after I left, or not long after I left, he then became airport director himself. I remember, after hearing of my promotion, of how excited I was, you know. I'd been in the airline industry 18 months, and suddenly I'm a station manager. Boy, that was the bee's knees, you know? But then after the excitement wore off, panic set in. Because then I began to realize, for the first time, all that I thought I knew about being a station manager versus all that I didn't know about being a station manager. And Gordon was the one who took me under his wing. I was a cocky piece of work in those days. God, I was insufferable. Well, some people still think I am, but, you know, that's a subject of another sermon. That's a subject about Romans, really. That's what that is. That's a sermon about what we've just heard about Romans, you know. I had a sports car. Green Triumph Spitfire 4, jaunty cap, double-breasted dark blue blazer, grey flared flannels. You get the picture, you know. Smoked Rothmans. Always had to be Rothmans because that's what pilots smoked. You know? I was a cocky piece of work. And I remember the time that I realized that Gordon was going to be my mentor. We were at the bar, the airport bar. We always used to retire to the airport bar at the end of the day when the last aeroplane had landed. And I don't know whether you've noticed this about human creatures, but when you have staff and they realize or make you realize that you don't really know what you think you know, then you take it out on them. You transfer all your incompetence onto them. And I did that. And it was Gordon Dennison who at the bar one night had what our bishop likes to refer to as a come to Jesus call. Though I wasn't going to Jesus at all in those days, I was more going to, you know, St. Gull's Gin or something like that. But anyway, he was the one who said, you know what, there's another way you can do this. Stop being so cocky and start learning to lead. I forget how many courses in management I took in the ensuing years. But I never forgot what Gordon Denison taught me over those years I was in Leeds, 4 or 5 years I was in Leeds. What he taught me about leadership has endured. And the yoke, his yoke that I took upon me, has been the yoke I have offered to others in the 40-odd years that I've been a mentor and teacher to people. I tell this story because at the end of the gospel lesson for this Sunday, Jesus offers himself as a mentor to his disciples, and actually to us and all who follow him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You won't find this passage anywhere else in Scripture. It's unique to Matthew's Gospel. And given what I've said over the last few weeks about where I think the locus of Matthew's Gospel is in the early church in Antioch, I cannot help but think that this is some text that they felt was very important to them. The context, of course, is Jesus' growing conflict with the increasing numbers of Pharisees and Sadducees and all others that the gospel tells us about who were opposing him. These are the people Jesus characterizes as this generation. You know, you can almost see the finger being pointed. This generation. Like obstinate children. These are the people who refuse to accept not just what Jesus does and is and says, but the source of the things that Jesus says, where they come from, where his teachings and his miracles, and above all, his acceptance of those undesirables, those people living on the margins of society and considered unacceptable by the establishment. It is to these people, this generation, that the ways of God's kingdom have become hidden. And so it's in this toxic environment the followers of Jesus had somehow to make headway. So Jesus becomes, literally, for the disciples, but spiritually, for the people in Antioch, their mentor and friend, the person who will help them carry their burdens. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I don't know how many of you know what a yoke is. You know, it's not necessarily that little yellow thing that sits in the middle of an egg, you know. But a yoke is a wooden or iron frame that was used or is used to join two oxen or draft animals together so they can pull a plow or a heavy load. We see it in our everyday lives around here in Amish territory. In that sense, a yoke is a symbol of hardship. It's a symbol of submission. The beasts are being controlled. It's a symbol of servitude. The beasts are actually carrying out a function on behalf of somebody else. But often, a young, inexperienced animal will be yoked to a more mature one to learn from it. And in this sense, the more mature animal carries the majority of the load. There are numerous references in Scripture to the yoke. Some of them rather negative. In the Jewish tradition of Jesus' day, for example, to wear the yoke was to obey the Torah, the law. But for many, this yoke had become a burden. So when Jesus invites his followers to take his yoke upon them, he's inviting them to allow him to be their mentor and allow God to carry the weight. When Raylan and I were in seminary, there was a constant stream of visiting faculty. One such was a man called Donald Armantrout, who was a Lutheran pastor and scholar, a church historian, who wrote a very good history of the Episcopal Church. He taught at Swanee, an Episcopal seminary attached to the University of the South. I remember having lunch with him once in the refectory. Don Armantrout was a great ecumenist who had a wonderful way of putting things into sensible English we could all understand. This is how he paraphrased Christ's invitation to take my yoke upon you. Come to me, he writes. You do not have to eat and drink in some particular way to be worthy. You do not have to acquire special wisdom. Come as you are. Find me among those who gather in my name. Find me in the church, where sisters and brothers bear one another's burdens, praying for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Come and find rest for your souls. Is that you? Is that you? Certainly me. To come to Jesus, in Don Armantrout's words, implies finding a safe harbor in Jesus. But not just a safe harbor, one in which we learn from him to carry each other's burdens, not just our own. This is the work of the ecclesia, the people of God, the church, allowing ourselves to be formed in the likeness of Jesus. And that requires work, hard work, interior work. I am often dismayed, I'll be very honest with you. I'm often dismayed when I hear people say, oh, I'm too old to change. I've got news for you. You're never too old to change. You're never too old to change. And if we would be true to our faith, we are constantly being formed in Christ. And that means being willing to change. Change our attitudes. Change our thoughts, change the way we present ourselves, change the way we think of each other, change the way we think of ourselves. It's clear from the Gospel of Matthew that the church which created it was constantly open to change. Just read the Gospel. Change runs through it all. Sharing the Gospel for all who would hear it. Of course, the challenge to change, always, and I speak personally, the challenge for change is being willing to be formed in a manner that makes us vulnerable. And we're very uncomfortable with making ourselves vulnerable. It's something instinctively we avoid. Because from childhood we've been taught to control our lives, our behavior, to protect ourselves, protect our egos, protect who we are. But as the gospel story makes clear, Jesus was not afraid to make himself vulnerable. And even in the face of fierce opposition, even in the face of death. When Jesus invites us to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, it means bringing to God in Christ all those things that burden us, those things that bind us, knowing that we do not carry them alone. God carries the weight. And of course, what's implied in this, though in the Gospel of Matthew we haven't quite got to it yet, but what's implied in this is that there is the Paraclete, John's Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of Christ, unseen, bidden or unbidden, that walks alongside us. And if, like the beast in the yoke pulling the plow, we should stumble from time to time, then, as the psalmist reminds us, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. For the Lord is faithful in all his words and merciful in all his deeds. That's the good news. Amen.